This episode of Star Wars in Character is sponsored in part by Audible.com. Audible.com offers well over 100 Star Wars audiobook titles, including the new novel Darth Plagueis, the full story of the Sith legend first mentioned in Revenge of the Sith. Now you can download one free audiobook from Audible.com, including Darth Plagueis, or any one of the other Star Wars titles, or any of the over 100,000 titles from Audible.com's library by visiting audibletrial.com/SWIC. Again, that's audibletrial.com/SWIC for your free audiobook.
I can't use any of this.
Why can't you?
Yeah, all right, good point.
This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the characters in the Star Wars universe you probably never noticed. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Today we are talking about the Minot. Dave, I said Minot.
For a second, okay. I don't have information on all that.
It'll be a lot of long notes.
Oh, God.
Oh.
But a very short conversation.
The Minot appears in quotes in Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back, but is mentioned in almost everything else.
Why does it appear in quotes?
Well, that's the only time you actually see it. All the rest is in games, books.
Well, then, yes, I know, but it's, when you say appear in quotes, it's like it doesn't... It's questionable whether or not it appears. I think that's the only thing that's not questionable, that it's in Episode 5.
Good point. Well, my name is... Chewing on the power cables, Chris.
Oh, God. Wow. We're getting desperate.
Oh, man.
Today, I am joined by, which I had to look up this, I had to Google this word after I wrote it down. Mm-hmm. I am joined by Mitosis Matt.
Ooh.
Wow.
You know what mitosis is?
I looked it up, I read it, and it's so long, it's all I know is it's how they reproduce.
Now, that's 10th grade biology.
Oh, it's, yeah, it's,
I thought you meant it's when my toe itches.
That's why I had to look it up. To my right, Fondor Dave.
Huh?
I know what Fondor.
That's right.
Is.
If you did the research,
that's one of the planets that they believe was the original homeworld of the mine.
Duh.
Fondor.
Okay.
Or
okay, that's the last duh you're allowed to say, Chris, because I made this. People didn't hear this if they don't have the Jango Fett CD, but I attend these recordings to learn things, not to know everything walking into it, so there should be no duh. I'm learning right now.
I only saw that because I looked it up.
Uh-huh.
And Tail Rings Tim.
All right.
You know what tail rings are, Tim?
Yeah, they are a prey of the they were predators of the Minox, I think.
They were. Wow. Look at you. Check out the big brain on Tim. Yeah, they were like, I looked at a picture of them. They look like basically like little dragons.
Yeah.
Aww.
I don't know what that's from. That's from some book or something.
Yeah.
Well, Fondor Dave.
Fondor Dave.
Give us some facts, please, about my Kianok. Something else.
All right. Well, the Minox are parasitical creatures that can be found pretty much anywhere in the galaxy. But basically, what they are bat-like flying leeches.
I actually jumped there for a second. Yeah. Much like I did in the first time I saw it in the theater.
Yes.
Well, that was one of the questions I was going to ask you guys. When that scene comes on, the scene that I'm sure we'll talk about a lot as we go through this, and she, you know, Leia's sitting in the cockpit.
Yes.
And
my cockpit.
She's going to look out the window. All of a sudden, there's that big sucker on the cockpit.
Yeah. And I just watched it today. Just to
I'm 14.
And I mean, Luke watched it, and... I still jumped because I just forgot I was watching this scene or something.
Right.
I was like, "Good."
Did your son jump?
A little bit, yeah.
How about you guys? Did you always jump when you were little?
Yep.
Yeah. I actually can remember seeing this in the theater and that being a scary part.
Hell yeah. That's scary as hell when you're a little
kid.
It
was. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just that noise is just scary. Like if we don't know what's coming, it gives you goose pimples.
This is going to be a...
This is the worst episode.
It is. This is terrible.
All right. Well, the thing that I found most interesting about the Minox is that they're, rather than being carbon-based like most living things and even living things in the Star Wars universe, they're silicon-based. So okay. It's basically... I know when I was little and you saw, you know, they're chewing on the power cables. Like, to me, that was like... They were like in the animal kingdom. It was like, you know, dogs chew on... chews, you know, just right. Because they're stupid animals and they chew on things. Like, not that they're getting nutrition from them. That's what I always thought it was. They were chewing on the power cables just because they were stupid animals. They're chewing on the power cables because they're getting food.
You got to eat.
Okay.
Were you any of you under this impression?
No.
No. I always, yeah, kind of what you said earlier, just dumb animals. They just chew for chewing's sake.
Right.
Yeah.
That's always what I thought, but because they're silicon based, it's like they're like made of like chemical elements.
Ah.
And when they are chewing on the power cables, they're doing it to get sustenance.
Oh, I thought, I didn't realize they were getting sustenance. I thought there was something about those cables that was tasty to them, like they're, you know, whatever they're coated in, these particular animals found tasty. I never even thought about getting past the cable shielding into the cables themselves until now.
No, huh. They're doing it because that's what they need to do to survive. It's almost like they eat energy. They eat electrical energy or stellar energy, and they absorb it through that sucker.
So they suck the life out of things?
Sort of.
So they're wives?
Oh.
Mine's home now.
Honey, I'm home.
Hello there.
Someone just walked in the room.
That's your producer.
Don't you dare. Okay. Well, that's basically what they do. They chew on the power cables, and they become a pest and a nuisance, especially to pilots, because in them doing it, they're siphoning off energy. It makes it take longer to get where you want to go. And in a lot of cases, what they would do with these ships is if you had a bunch of Minox on your ship, when you got to port, if they were still on your ship, they would quarantine your ship until you could get them off, because they were almost like, it was almost like a disease. They were like rats. Mm-hmm. They didn't want them in with the other ships because they were going to start, you know, sucking on all these ships. So if you had had them on your ship, they sent you to, like, you know, the sick bay almost.
Never knew that.
Well, now I got a question here. All right. Do they only eat energy? Is that their main source of food? Is that?
Yeah, that's it. They said even and from the research that I did that in extreme cases, they could absorb energy through the hull of a ship. If they couldn't get to the cables, they would attach themselves to the hull of a ship and absorb the energy through. And by doing that, they could cause a breach in the hull and actually cause the ship to implode. So like, wow. if you had Minox on your ship and you didn't take care of him like Han does, like he's like, you know, he's in there and he, you know, I even wrote down a quote because that was cool. He's like, I just got this bucket back together. I'm not going to let something tear it apart. If you don't get them off your ship, they could actually destroy your ship because they'll just keep sucking and sucking until they crack your hull.
But sometimes that's a good thing.
Not in space.
In space, no one can hear you suck.
So sucking might not.
Now, if okay. These Minox, they're I'm seeing a picture here on Wikipedia, and they're just flying around out in space. Do they not need oxygen, or do they not breathe?
They do not breathe oxygen. There are several species, and Minox and the space slug, but I actually found the name of the space slug. It has an actual name.
Larry.
I was going to say Doug.
Doug the space slug?
Yeah.
That's better. The space slug's actual species name, and maybe a future episode, is the Exogorth.
Oh, God.
And these creatures, what they are, is they are vacuum-breathing species, and they do not need to breathe oxygen. They can exist in the vacuum of space because they don't breathe air. In fact, if these Minox go into the atmosphere of a planet, this was kind of funny, they're allergic to helium. So if they go in the atmosphere of a planet, they inflate and blow.
Oh, that's awesome. That's like feeding a seagull Alka-Seltzer.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. And people, it said that a lot of these pilots, because they would want to keep Minox off their ship, they would put almost booby traps all over their ship. They would put helium grenades all over their ship, hoping that the Minok would then chew on that, blow up, and just like
away. All the way home.
Yeah.
You know, space is pretty vast and for the most part empty. It sort of seems odd that you would find Minox, especially inside of a space slug, as we find out as the movie goes. Found out that these things are flying around in the belly of a space slug. If they subsist on like energy and electric power, it sort of seems like this space slug would probably have to ingest ships on a regular frequent basis for them to be there and to live inside the belly of this beast.
Yeah, Tim's got a great point. It's like they are, first of all, they're in the middle of, you know, somewhere they just detached from the, no, they didn't yet, but they're in the middle of space. They happen upon an asteroid belt, and of all the millions of asteroids in there, they happen on the one that has a living creature in it that also has living creatures inside of that. That is some amazing odds.
Yeah,
it is. Well, the space slug was like that too. It would have to prey on things like that as far as a way to sustain its life. Because I always thought, I mean, this is what I thought about this too. I thought they are parasites. They're leeches. So to me, when I was a kid, I thought it was kind of like it was in the Animal Kingdom again, where like there are, you know, like there's an African elephant, but there's birds sitting on the African elephant that like eat the bugs and keep it clean. So it's almost like a
Sugar of Life kind of thing?
Sort of. So yeah, I kind of thought that's what was going on with these Minox when I was little. Like they live in its body. They help to digest its food, even maybe pick the food out of its teeth kind of thing to survive. But they're not. They were these Minox that were in the space slug's body had been swallowed and ingested. Oh.
See, I'm with you, Dave. I thought the exact same thing, too. I thought it was almost like a symbiotic relationship. But, yeah, now finding out they just, these independent creatures happen to be in the space slug is a little hard to swallow.
Yeah, that's the case.
It's hard to swallow Minok.
So I would assume that the Minok might be like space plankton.
That's all I heard, too.
Yeah, Tim, you're right about that. I mean, they're the natural. We'll do probably an exogorth / space slug episode one day, but these are the natural prey of the exogorth. And when it would be ingested, like they were in the movie, they would stay alive for a while. I mean, they didn't say like weeks, but it would take a while for them to be digested. It's almost like the sarlacc. And while they were in there, they would actually stay alive from feeding on like the veins and stuff of the exogorth.
See, that is actually makes less sense. I would buy that they're feeding off the nerves that have energy impulses, not the veins, though.
Right. It said veins.
This story's fail.
You gotta say that again.
The veins in my knock?
Yes.
All right.
So they. Those Minox.
Thank you for having him say that again, by the way. I'd hate to miss that.
I didn't want that to be trampled.
No.
The Minox that were in that belly of that beast were. What's that noise?
It's on here. It says this is the wet footsteps. They all get out when Leia says.
I don't know. I have a bad feeling about this.
You hear this? They're walking on the inside the
book. I thought that was audio for something else. Going on over there.
It says here, quote unquote, wet footsteps. Anyone was one?
No, could be wet.
Are we still recording the Biling episode?
Biling part two, the Minok.
Minok and Biling.
I just thought of that.
This is going to be the hardest episode to edit ever.
Hardest.
Yeah, the Minox in there, if they're food, but they're also feeding on the space slug, something's got to give there. Well, there's got to be something that finally puts one of them down.
Eventually, they'll be digested.
Okay.
It's just, it's such a big space that they're in there, able to survive for a little while. So they're sort of like dead Minok walking.
I wonder if that's what it's like in the Sarlacc, where they're slowly digested over 1,000 years, or if that's sort of the same thing.
Yeah, I remember reading in the I guess it was the Tales from Jabba's Palace short stories, the one about Boba Fett where it talks about him and being in the Sarlacc, and he eventually loses his leg. His leg gets digested, but he gets out. There's like dudes hanging out in the Sarlacc's belly.
Hey, man.
They're in there like playing cards and shit.
And anyone ever think of making a ladder?
Whenever they're hungry, they just go over and take a, you know, bite into the vein of the of the Sarlacc and just just live on the Sarlacc blood for a couple days.
You ever think about, like, I'll get on your shoulders, you get on my shoulders.
How about just jump?
Yeah, they're all hanging out in there. Like, as soon as he gets in there, there's guys in there like, sup?
Oh, I give up.
New guy.
But I agree with Tim saying, I mean, you got to give my knock a break. It can't keep it up all night, all the time.
All night long.
My knock.
On my knock.
Are you through?
I'm done. I'm all the way through. I almost said something, but I didn't.
Well, this is the other thing, and the thing that you alluded to with the nickname. This is the thing that I thought. I mean, if you thought this other stuff was stupid, this is really stupid.
Bring it.
When the Minok had absorbed enough energy, because they were kind of simple creatures. They didn't have organs, Chris.
I just
they didn't procreate. They didn't reproduce like other animals.
Wet footsteps, everybody.
So there's no Minok humping. Okay, what happened is when they'd absorb enough energy, they'd split through mitosis.
Mitosis, that's what it means.
They would just split, and a new one would be created.
That's right.
That to me is dumb. Now, there were several different species of Minoks. I didn't write them all down. Some of them were kind of interesting because some did...
Were there bigger ones and smaller ones and all different sizes?
Well, there were some that were more developed.
Go ahead.
They actually could breathe in the atmosphere. There were some that had developed minds and actually communication. This was the dumbest one. There was some that lived on an asteroid, and they had an advanced culture. They could talk.
I have heard people say that Minok has a mind of its own. So I buy that.
This is no cave.
And these Minoks, actually the ones that could talk and had minds, they actually used the dark side of the Force.
Oh, God. Who wrote this story?
I've heard that, too.
So there's all kinds of stuff with the different Minoks. It got honestly kind of silly as I read, got worse and worse. One of the first things I thought about was is if they could be consumed by humans. Chris,
I think Minok can.
So if prepared correctly, a Minok could be eaten.
Could be.
In fact, the Twi'leks.
Oh boy.
Nope. Ate them on a regular basis. So they made a dish called the Minok Coronet City, and it was a spicy dish.
It's a spicy.
So I'm sure we could get the recipe.
I'm sorry, Dave. I actually had to look that up to see if you were making that up or not because it was too perfect. But sure as shit, there it is.
Yes, it was a spicy dish.
Twi'leks like to munch on my knock.
I can't use any of this. Fuck.
Why can't you?
Yeah, all right, good point.
It was usually a last resort for food. It tasted bad. These Minoks really taste bad.
It sort of seemed like you'd have to go to a lot of effort to hunt a Minok because you'd have to go into space.
Well, I do have to go through a lot of effort to get Minok eaten. That is true.
They were usually eaten as a last resort. It was something that could sustain you, but it wasn't something that you sought out as food. If you got stranded on an asteroid and they were there, it was like, yeah, you could eat it to, you know, not die, but it's not something that you're like going after.
I've tried that line. It doesn't work.
So the rebels actually used them almost like a weapon. They would breed them.
Sword fight?
They would breed them and incubate them. And what they would do is they would send... That's the worst sound effect you've ever played.
Wet footprint steps.
They would send them into like a fleet of ships. almost like, you know, like in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade with the pigeons and the umbrella. So you send a bunch of Minox into a ship and, you know, bad stuff happens.
I was going to say that's a good idea because chances are like radar and technology won't find them. But is that true? Because they're silicon based and they feed on energy, and assuming you have a great abundance of energy in their system, when the ships see them coming and start shooting at them?
Well, I think they're kind of unpredictable. And it said in the research I did that to call someone a Minock was like a slur, not a racial slur, but something like if you called somebody that, you're basically saying you're like a mindless idiot. And the only time that people used it as a good thing was that they were good at evading attack. So like the Jedi Order named a lightsaber technique after them because they were good at evading attack. So you would do the Minock technique on somebody.
Do the Minock.
So, but really the only time you see them, as far as we're concerned, is in The Empire Strikes Back, is really what I consider part of one of the greatest action sequences in movie history.
That is the model they use in that is very lifelike. It almost looks like I'm setting myself up for a joke here. It's inside its little hole mouth. It's like there's like this fluid. You know what I'm talking? I'm trying not to set up a joke. I know it's coming out, but there's like this white fluid in its little mouth hole piece.
There is some white cream.
Yeah.
Seriously, Chris, go back to that picture of the Minock.
I have it right here. I'm looking down at it right now.
Put that thing away.
Right there.
Look, there's a little white.
I see.
Pasty stuff.
Would you say it's like some kind of secretion?
I would.
So would I.
It probably is some sort of, I would think it's some sort of like acid that can eat into the core, into the cords or the wires to get to the energy is.
You would think.
We're going to put in logistics or whatever.
Feeling about this.
Yeah, that white stuff was never explained, but that to me would be what I would assume as well.
Yeah. It's a cool model. I mean, you don't really, the one that you see attached to the window is, you only see it real quick. You can't really get a good look at it. And then when they go outside, you see them flying around, and they're just basically silhouettes. So you never really get to see them in the films too much too well.
It's actually, I like that. I like the less is more with these things. I think it gave that scene a lot more suspension.
Yeah.
That whole scene is unbelievable because even before you see them, it starts out with the Star Destroyer shooting the asteroids. Remember that scene where it's just like picking off the asteroids as it's coming at them?
Yeah.
That is so cool. And those TIE bombers dropping those bombs.
Right in that hole.
Yeah, into that big canyon.
Yeah.
And they're just chilling in there. And that was the thing. I mean, it all adds to like Han Solo's mystique. Like the fact that he's so close to them and he does it several times in just that scene. He's like right there. And they still can't get him. Like, it's just an awesome, awesome scene, the whole thing.
So would you say that the Minock stands up?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Holds up?
Well, you know, and I don't know. Like, to me, when we talked about how when we were little, it scared you. But he's not scared. Like, he goes out there like he doesn't care. He kind of he has like a suspicion that that's what it is, but he isn't scared. Even when you go out there and he sees these creatures that are clearly very creepy,
right?
And she's screaming, and 3PO,
you're me screaming.
No, go away, beastly thing.
That's funny.
So you know, it's and he's just like chill. You know, he's the coolest son of a bitch in the galaxy.
This is no cake.
Like, although
I always did laugh though whenever he finally shot the Belly of the Beast, and the whole they start like rocking back and forth like the old Star Trek episode.
Yeah, you know, where they tilt the camera.
Yeah, I always laugh at that.
Yeah,
that's like the oldest practical effect in the book.
Yeah, that is some great acting. And especially her. You gotta play that clip again. Could she sound any more disinterested?
I don't know, I have a bad feeling about this.
That's she seriously has no interest in Minock.
But he's not scared. Chewbacca's scared, you know, and he's just chill.
He is.
He doesn't care. Although, how good of a pilot could he be that he would that he didn't know he wasn't in a cave? I mean, how
this
could he?
No cave.
How could he not know?
It's a law. Yeah, but we just discussed that law of averages. I mean, seriously, statistically, that should have never happened.
Yeah.
So, does the slug just sit there?
I was gonna say, does the space slug ever like fly around and go anywhere? Is that
he
is
may
that...
have been in hibernation until they shot him?
Ooh, hibernation.
That may have woke him up.
But do they sleep with their mouth open?
I do.
Yeah.
And does Chris Tim? I mean, you probably know that.
There's a big puddle of Minock every morning next to me.
That doesn't make sense.
I know. Yeah,
well, when we do the Exogorth episode, we can really get into it. Oh, jeez. But the Minocs are in that scene for 22.1 seconds.
Wow.
That's longer than Wilbur Hood.
Yeah, it's actually that long because once he shoots it off the ship.
It falls.
Once he shoots it off the ship, Chris.
Whack-a-mole?
Yeah.
Whack-a-mole.
Yeah. when it's lying on the ground there, you can see its wing kind of sticking up out of the smoke. So it's actually on screen for a while. And then a bunch of them, you know, come at him.
Yeah. Flat pass everybody.
Yeah.
you'd think they'd go after C-3PO for his power. They go they would go straight to his midsection because that's exposed.
Like M-dry.
Maybe that's why he's so damn scared.
he's still in the ship. He's not out there.
Oh yeah, you're right. Maybe they were trying to get to him.
I'm surprised C-3PO didn't throw R2-D2 out there to save his own ass.
They go up to the window to get him, and you know. How many? I was gonna save this for a trivia question, but a little bonus trivia: how many shots are fired inside the space slug?
Three.
Tim says three. What do you say?
Well, they shoot the one off the ship. He shoots by accident. The thing moves, and he shoots it again. Make sure. I think Tim's right. I'll say three.
Yep.
Matt, what do you think?
I think three is right as well.
You guys are good. Why can't you do this?
I bet 5 points, right?
Yeah. Why can't you do this in the regular trivia?
He'd overthink it. He'd be like, nine.
No, I have a bad feeling about this.
He shoots it off the ship, and then Chewbacca shoots at one as it's coming at him.
And the whole thing moves.
And that's when Han's like, you know, what the hell?
This is no cave.
And shoots the inside of his mouth.
Right.
And then they start dancing.
Yeah. And then I think when the masks come off and it's like behind him, he's trying to hold it in front of him.
Yeah. And other than that, that was one of the things that I instantly think of, those masks. And if you're like me,
the toys.
With the original Kenner line, they would have the mail-aways, and they'd have like the, you know, the exclusive figures like Nine Numb and Admiral Akbar and the Emperor. Like you had to, you'd mail away and you get those early, the Boba Fett, you know, that kind of stuff. But then they had this one thing, and it was called, I think it was called a utility pack.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically came with like backpacks and junk.
Oh, it was like his accessory pack, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there were the masks for inside the space slug. And those things were so cool.
They were.
Like that attention to detail in the early 80s was pretty good. They were
see through too, almost.
Yeah. It was like a clear plastic.
Yeah.
Now, with these newer things, I mean, they're making figures of every Tom, Dick, and Harry that they can make.
Tom, Minock, and Harry.
Sorry. So they made
a
set that was called like Minock Attack or some crap like that.
And the Minock Hunt, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
And it had,
that was
hello.
That was that set was actually a pretty hard set to find. They didn't make a whole bunch of them, so you really had to search for the Minock Hunt.
I found it. I have mine right downstairs.
All right. Well, as far as the Minock goes.
Yes. Is there a measurement of how big Minock was?
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna play your little game anymore.
How about right that? Here.
Go ahead.
Average length 1 to 1.6 meters.
The sizes doesn't always matter. It's the girth.
It's the motion and the space lug.
But that's all I got.
That was good.
Yeah.
It was. It was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Just how they are.
It's a spicy.
I'm afraid to ask Matt.
You know, I honestly didn't even see this episode going in the direction it went until we started recording. So my sight seems so freaking lame now compared to the rest of that conversation. But it's what I got. It's at StarWarsAficionado.blogspot.com, and there's a really short, I don't even know if you call it an article. It's just like a shot of, I've never seen this before. I would venture a guess that Tim has seen this, but it's a production shot of that Minoc scene. And it's these guys standing on a platform with these sticks with the Minoc wings on the end. And it's what they use to pass, you know, over Leia and Han and whatnot across camera. I'd never seen this before, and I thought it was really neat.
I don't think I've ever seen that either.
Okay. No. So, like I said, very short, very neat picture, you know, not as in depth as some of my other sites, but I've never seen this before, and it's a very cool production shot. So that is what I'll put up on our show notes for this episode.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, the pictures, there are some drawings online, and drawings are pretty stupid, but as far as the still shots that you can see from the movie, there's that obvious one with the sucker on the window. They look like those fish that you put in your fish tank to keep it clean.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought of when I saw that picture before we recorded it, and I thought of a whole different other set of things.
Remember that?
But you can still, when you're watching and it flies by, when you first see it, when Leia's kind of daydreaming, and it flies by and it catches her eye, you pause it and you can kind of see it, and there's a little bit of detail there. There's definitely the wings. It almost looks like a pterodactyl.
Yeah.
And you can see the claw feet, like almost like talons hanging down. So you can, if you sit and look hard enough, you can get a pretty good idea of what it looks like other than the lame pictures that are on the internet.
I was watching Empire today for the scene. Remember when Luke crashes on Dagobah, and I always thought it was a bat goes by.
Mm-hmm.
Think that's a Minoc?
I don't know.
Yeah, I just saw it today. That's why I was like, "Ooh,
that could be one of those." What was it? I forget already. The thing that
another kind of Minoc?
No, species? The
the
predator. The
tail thing. Rings.
It's a tail ring. Maybe that's a tail.
Yeah,
ring.
Maybe.
Yeah, I know what you're. Well, that's a good.
I know one. The old video games, the old Super Star Wars, Super Empire Strikes Back. I think when you're on Endor, they call the Minocs that attack you.
On Endor?
Not on Endor. I'm sorry. On Dagobah. There's on Super Empire Strikes Back. There's like it's like a Minoc type creature that you when you're Luke and you're jumping over through the swamps, you fight a Minoc thing.
Mm. Well, if that's true, then that. Doesn't lend itself to this goofy backstory with the helium thing, because it wouldn't be flying. It would be like a puffer fish. It would be like it would be a big hot like a Goodyear blimp. It wouldn't be flying. So who knows? You know, like, I mean, this stuff is all just conjecture. But that's a cool idea.
Yeah, it did look like one. That's all I know.
It's those big, almost like paper like wings.
Yeah,
and they're so veiny.
Yes, they are.
Set you up.
And most of them are. Well, is it time?
It's time. Time for Imperial Pursuit.
Imperial Pursuit.
All right. Through the scores here, Chris.
I'm in the positives.
You know what? I'm not saying your name first for the first time.
Oh, my God. I just forgot. I'm not in the last fucking place.
I think I'm in last.
In fourth place with 0 points is Tim.
Wow. That might be the shocker of the season.
Do you know what I have to say about that?
In third place with 1 is Chris. You better be careful. Yeah!
Third place.
In second place with 8 is Matt.
All right, old buddy.
And in first place with 12 is yours truly.
Wow.
Dave.
I'm sorry.
All right, Chris.
Yeah.
You got to play this right. I mean, you don't want me to say your name first next week.
I know.
Okay. So here's your category.
Yeah.
Yoda.
Yoda.
Y-O-D-A.
Away with your weapon. I mean you no harm.
What are you betting on Yoda? 0 to 5.
You seek Yoda.
This could be the anything. From the prequels, and that's not good.
Yeah, he's in a lot of movies. In 5 of the 6 movies. Could be anything.
Boom, 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 boom. I will say I was, you know what, though, Dave? I'm a little bit hungry.
Eat! Eat!
Okay, hold on. I'm back. I just ate. I'll say two.
2 points.
2 points.
2 points on Yoda. Okay. Here's your question. How many fingers did Yoda have?
What, total?
That's the question. How many fingers did Yoda have?
Oh, well, at least one, asshole, if you're going to talk like that.
I'll say six. I think it's three per hand.
Three per hand for a total of six? Is that your final answer?
Final answer.
What'd you bet?
Two.
That's 2 points for Chris.
Whoa!
So I got three?
You are up to 3 points.
You're up to one hand of Yoda.
I didn't know, like, it could have been anything. I don't know. I wasn't sure. I didn't know it was going to be about, you know, him, like, his body parts.
And you were pretty sure of that off the bat. That's the kind of thing, like, as soon as I saw, I'm just looking through the book, I'm like, all right, let me get Chris's question.
I'm actually picturing the action figures more than the movie stuff.
Okay. Hey, I thought you were going to overthink this totally, and you're going to be like, oh, and sit there and just talk yourself out of it.
I remember. The action figure, I remember three per hand.
All right, so a total of six. I did say in the book that his toes, however, changed throughout the movies. He never had the same amount of toes from one movie to the next. Now, maybe by the time they did the prequels, they got it nailed down. But
is that mitosis?
All right, so Chris, you have three. That means we're on to Tim.
Yeah. I'm so third, aren't I?
Well, baby steps.
Okay.
Here's your question, or your category, Tim. Your category is, who said that?
You just sound like Mark.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Do
that.
I am going to go, because it seems like all of these questions are direct from the movies. I'm going to go five.
Don't do that.
Don't wow, go. Five.
If he gets this right, he is back in third place.
No!
Okay.
All right.
Tim.
How many fingers does Luke Skywalker have?
Depends on before or after he gets it. At what point in the movie? Sometimes it's 10, sometimes it's 5.
It just isn't fair.
All right. Here's your question, Tim. Which two characters said, quote, "This is where the fun begins," end quote, as they were off on similar missions in their respective films?
Ooh, that's a good one.
So, which two characters said the quote, "This is where the fun begins," end quote?
Princess Leia says it. And I know Anakin Skywalker says it.
I think these guys said it right before the cookout.
Uncle Owen!
The cookout?
Yeah.
This is where the fun begins, Baru.
They got too close.
Oh, okay.
Aw.
Which two characters said, "This is where the fun begins," as they were off on similar missions in their respective films?
Well, come on,
Tim.
Well, come on.
I know Anakin says it. I'm pretty sure. Oh, gosh.
I'm looking for someone.
I'm looking for an answer.
This is where the fun begins. I'm pretty sure Princess Leia says it, too.
Was that your Anakin
Skywalker?
So I'm going to
say Anakin and Princess Leia.
Is that your Anakin Skywalker impression? That mumble there?
All right. So are you locked in with Leia and Anakin? Or are you still thinking?
I'm nervous, but yes, I'm locked in.
All right. How many points did you bet?
Five.
You're at -5.
Oh my
goodness.
No!
All right. Anakin did say it.
Yeah.
He said it in Revenge of the Sith just before rescuing Palpatine. But the other person was Han Solo, who said it in A New Hope just before rescuing Leia.
You're right.
Love you.
Man, I really suck at Imperial Pursuit this round.
F it up, fuzzball.
All right, so -5 for Tim.
Oh, my God. You suck at the negative, you ass.
You ass suck ass.
That was horrible.
It
was.
Yikes.
Oh.
I never heard that one before. That's a great one.
These are always like, they don't have the music playing over it, so I don't, yeah, this one here I never even heard. These keep on falling.
Like, I thought
Jabba
were continuing his descent scream, because I never heard it go that long.
Yeah, I guess because, like Chris said, the music's playing and the sound effects are playing, you can't hear it. This is isolated, so that's like probably what he's actually doing.
Hey, Minock.
Don't get excited.
Oh, jeez.
I said Minock.
All right, Matt.
Yes.
Your category is Darth Vader.
Oh.
Darth Vader.
What am I at? I don't even know what I have.
You're at 8 and I'm at 12. You could retake the lead.
That's it.
This very episode.
All right. I'll go for 5.
What?
5.
Five points on Darth Vader.
Good.
Here's your question. What was notable about Darth Vader's electronic breastplate during his duel with Obi-Wan in A New Hope?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
That is correct.
What was notable about it?
What was notable about Darth Vader's electronic breastplate during his duel with Obi-Wan in A New Hope?
I took double D batteries.
It wasn't lit up, maybe?
Is that your answer?
Yeah, that's what I'll go with. It wasn't lit up.
That's incorrect.
Shit.
No disintegrations.
The answer was it was on backwards.
Oh, interesting.
Really?
No!
It was on backwards. I didn't know that.
That's... You know, I'm actually not that upset because that's very interesting.
Yeah, that's really the cool thing.
Can't be mad at that.
Can't be mad at that. All right, Chris.
What's my category? Circle in red. What's that mean? Circle in red. You already
I think we did that already.
Alrighty. Okay. I just turned to this page.
Yes. What is the category?
Behind
my knock.
Scenes. Behind my knock is something else.
All right.
I don't know how to end
my ass.
All right, this could be anything. I'm going to play it somewhat safe and go 3.
You're going for 3.
3 points behind the scenes. This is the stuff that Tim is the best at because he knows who got the coffee for, you know, Ian McDermott on episode 6 and who
Stuart Langston.
Yeah, who changed Alec Guinness's colostomy bag.
Bill Freeston.
He knows everything.
All right. That's why he's in -5.
Now, if you
know nothing except for Bill Freeston.
Colostomy bag.
If you need any help answering this question,
yeah,
someone just walked in.
Hello there.
He can do this every show.
He'll be happy to help you.
Yeah, actually, it just got less funny now.
What about Solar Rain?
What about Solar Rain?
I'm glad you've played it all this time because now you've made it not funny.
Yeah, it's actually that wasn't funny. I'm usually the biggest fan of that, but that was kind of lame.
Hello there.
Congratulations.
No, that's still funny.
You've ruined it.
All right.
It's funny for half of us.
Mm-hmm.
How many?
The guys in third and fourth place.
of the 6 films were nominated for Best Visual Effects Oscars.
Ooh. Ooh.
I know this.
Yeah, the 6 films were nominated for... Okay. It has to be at least a new one.
Matt, you think this 0 to 100's not funny anymore?
I thought you were going to play something.
I'm waiting for an answer, and then I was going to play something.
It didn't have the impact it's had the last few episodes. I think you need to use a little more sparingly in the future.
You really mean that?
Oh, I get it.
You really mean that?
I think it's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, you're wrong.
That's funny, too.
How many of the 6 films were nominated for Best Visual Effects Oscars?
I mean, anything I say is going to be a total guess. I know it, like, A New Hope won some Oscars, and I had to have won for something like that. I mean, that was, like, groundbreaking. I don't remember if any of the prequels were. They probably were. I'm going to say two. I'm going to say A New Hope and The Phantom Menace.
You're going to say two?
Two.
And how much did you bet?
Three.
The correct answer was five.
Really?
A New Hope, Empire, and Jedi each won. Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones were nominated, and Sith was passed by.
So five of the six were nominated, huh? And,
yes.
And the whole original trilogy won. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, correct, yeah.
See, I thought the number was five, but I thought they were. I thought all of them were nominated. Empire all the way through Sith, but I didn't know that. What am I trying to say? The first Star Wars, I thought that the special effects category didn't exist, and they gave him an honorary one. So I thought that was going to be like the technicality. It wasn't nominated; it just won. I may be wrong on that.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
it was like they knew there wasn't anything to award them with, but it was such an achievement that they said we got to give these guys something.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Chris, you're the only one that got one.
I was just going to ask you that. Am I the only one who's smart on this podcast?
Well, I wouldn't say that. Wait till you hear these scores. I'm going to read the scores up. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Anyway, in fourth place, Tim, negative five. Negative. In third place, Matt.
What?
Whoa.
Third?
What?
Actually, tie what? For second. Is Matt and Chris. I just want to say your name second. You know, like
well, I'm in second place, but I'm tied with Matt.
You and Matt are tied with
That's
three.
That's great company.
Wow.
Matt.
Yes, it is.
And I have nine. So,
You got that one wrong and you still have nine?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I did five on something and blew it up. So,
wow.
I got lucky.
That's pretty good.
You know what? You. This is
it's
you,
not gonna happen. Just you, shut your mouth.
I'm cheering for you.
Shut your mouth. That's not gonna happen.
All right. Well, that's the way it is.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for listening to our Star Wars character discussion about the Mind Knock. Should I put lots on the end there? Mind Knock.
Why are you restraining yourself now in the last 2 seconds of the episode?
Join us next time when we discuss Gascano!
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.